AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Emmanuel Fernandez signs for Rangers and two more could follow soon. Nicholas Kuhn looks set to join Como from Celtic for a fee of around £16 million. And Lauren Shanklin signs a three-year deal to remain at Hearts. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Gordon DL.
Yeah, the transfer market's starting to heat up a little bit. Rangers starting to get some bodies into the obviously Ibrox. Celtic looking maybe to get one of their key players out for what you would say was a reasonable fee. I wonder what the Celtic fans feel about that. And also other clubs now in pre-season training. Big news for Hearts, Lauren Shanklin. I think that's a terrific bit of business for Derek McInnes. I thought he'd be desperate to keep him there. He's a goal scorer and I think he will definitely score goals next season for them. And then we look forward to obviously League Cup games coming up and the season starting to get off and running.
Yeah, I think Rangers fans thought they'd maybe had their fix yesterday when Joe Rothwell had signed, and then later on at night another signing that was maybe sort of sprung on supporters. Emmanuel Fernandez signing from Peterborough, a 23-year-old signing a four-year deal. Not sure many saw that one coming, but it's another piece of business done for Russell Martin.
Yeah, don't know a lot about him, I've got to say. 23, Peterborough. It's interesting because, you know what like is, Andrew, you like to go onto social media, try and look at what the lad's career's all about, think about what the fans that he's obviously the club he's just left think about him. There was a sort of a mixed bag, I've got to say. It's reported round about 3.5. I don't know if that's the exact figure, we'll never know. Maybe that's a little bit of add-ons, games, everything. But obviously Rangers rate him very highly. And it'll be interesting to see what he brings. And once again, it's that position, the defence. I think Russell Martin's really looked at Rangers and thought, I will need to steady the back line and the goalkeeper, be very hard to beat because he has got good quality in front and he's got guys up front that can score goals. So he's obviously making Rangers a very, very hard team to beat. But they have to come, they have to settle down, and they have to hit the ground running.
Yeah, a bit later on, we will be hearing from a Peterborough expert who will be giving us the lowdown on Emmanuel Fernandez and his time at the club, so make sure to stay tuned for that as well. Some big news coming out of Celtic in the past couple of hours. Reports Fabrizio Romano saying that a deal has been struck between Celtic and Como for Nicholas Kuhn to go for, I think, €19 million was the fee. That's roughly £16 million-ish. It kind of did always seem over the past couple of weeks that he may well be on his way, and this looks like the confirmation.
A little bit surprised about that. I like Kuhn. I think when he came into Celtic at first, it took him time. Obviously, it was well highlighted about the fact that he wasn't 100% fit. He eventually got there. Beginning of the season last year, he was absolutely on fire. He was terrific. Took a little dip in the middle of the season, then come back later on. You just wonder, will Celtic fans think that's good business? Have Celtic left themselves a little bit short in the wide areas? I think they probably have just now, because obviously Jota have been out injured long term. But I'm sure Celtic will be looking at other targets. They'll know this is going to come along. They'll have a look at it. They'll think, right, is the price right? We have this debate the other night there. About Eggerman, would it be the right time to sell someone? Was it the right value for him? Was it the right money Celtic are getting in as well? I just think Kuhn is a very, very good footballer, and I think they'll have to go a long way to replace him.
Well, Gordon DL asked the question, what do you think, Celtic fans? Is £16 million a good deal for Celtic if Nicholas Kuhn does move to Como? Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. As I said, Rangers fans, we will be hearing from a Peterborough expert to tell us all things Emmanuel Fernandez. So if you've got some thoughts on him before that, give us a call, 0141 951 1025. Lauren Shanklin signing a new deal at Hearts. You did wonder what way that one was going, but he will be playing under Derek McInnes, a three-year deal he's signed. So if you want to give your thoughts on that, 0141 951 1025. And I of course must mention the sad passing of Diogo Jota, the Liverpool player, and his brother Andre Silva as well over in Spain. Diogo leaves behind his wife and three young kids. So the thoughts of everyone at Clyde One Super Scoreboard go out to the friends and families affected by that one. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Let's go straight to the phone, shall we? James is a Celtic fan in Garrow Hill. What are you thinking tonight, James?
What I'm thinking is it's a good deal for the money that they were getting in for Kuhn, but they need to spend this right away. There's big bargains out there. Lennon Miller could be signed for $4.5 million, $5 million. He's absolutely superb. And I think we fell asleep at the wheel as far as this Matthias Kvistgaard's concerned, because Lyon's France look as if they've had a bid accepted. We fell asleep at the wheel here. We really have. And as far as a left back position is concerned, I think we could sign Owen Beck for hardly anything. That's three in right away, and then look for the two wingers. But we need to spend that money. The money's going to be coming in. Get it spent right away, because we've got that Champions League qualification tie coming up, and it's going to be really difficult, I think.
Yeah, if Celtic are getting that big money for Nicholas Kuhn, Gordon, do you feel that the money needs to then be going the other way now? Celtic have made, is it five signings this summer, but there hasn't been any big money moves so far. Would you expect that to come, and would that maybe be triggered by Nicholas Kuhn moving on?
I just don't think it'll be triggered by Kuhn moving on. Obviously, they'll have to bring in replacements. But let's face it, Celtic at this moment in time are cash rich. It's not, they're not sitting there waiting for £16 million to come through the door so they can go out and reinvest it in other players. I think this is a sort of a, you know, Celtic fans are a little bit disappointed because they know the amount of money Celtic have got. I was expecting bigger names, if I've got to be honest, right? But there's a bit of to go in the window. And I do expect Celtic, they will have targets in mind, no doubt about it, especially if Kuhn's getting out of the building. I think James makes good points in the fact of Lennon Miller is going to be one of the best talents in Scotland in the future. He's got everything in his locker to be the top, top player.
James said $4.5 million. Do you think that would be enough? Would Motherwell be wanting more than that?
If I was Motherwell, I'd be wanting more than that. But at the end of the day, it just depends on what Celtic were prepared to offer, what Motherwell were prepared to accept. Is Lennon Miller looking to stay in Scottish football? That's a big question as well, because he's looking at other players now, younger players going abroad and playing a different culture, playing a, you know, with different styles of football under different coaching and things like that. So he may just have his eyes opened with that, or he looks at Celtic and thinks what a fantastic challenge it is to go and work under a coach with the ability of Brendan Rodgers and being obviously a club the size of Celtic Football Club. And I totally agree. I think they'll need to move on the left back situation. Owen Beck's been mentioned at Rangers as well, but I'm sure Celtic will probably have a lot of targets lined up, and I wouldn't be surprised if you would see this moving very, very shortly. And I think they need a couple of, for me, to please the Celtic fans, a couple of big names, and, you know, just to take it forward and give them that excitement. I've not been excited, and I don't know if Rangers fans and Celtic fans will agree with this, I've not really been excited with the transfer business that Celtic Rangers are doing. I thought with the new owners coming in with 49ers, I thought it would have been different with Rangers. I look at Celtic, they've lost one or two players, they've got to lose Kuhn, and you're thinking, right, OK, they've got to kick on, they've certainly got the money to go and do that, but once again, I will say it, we've still got plenty of time to go and sort this one out.
I think Celtic's first competitive game of the season, James, is, what's that, a month today, 3rd of August against St Mirren. Despite the fact that there is still a month to go, are you feeling quite impatient about, you know, the way transfers are going?
Yes, definitely. I'm feeling impatient because I just think you should get your business done early and get all the players up to speed for this qualification tie, because it's going to be so important. We need that money. We need to get it.
Does that? Do you know what I mean? Do you feel there's more importance on it this?
You're guaranteed 40 million.
Do you feel there's more importance on it this season, James, because Celtic haven't had to go through the qualifiers in the last few seasons, because there is this qualifying round now? Is there extra importance, do you feel, this season in getting the players in early and bedding them in early?
Definitely. And, of course, even worse, because we're going to have three qualification ties, so it's going to be even worse next season. But we need to get into the Champions League, that big, massive group stage again, because it was amazing last season. So the money's everything. Money's everything in football now. It really is, and I think we're falling asleep at the wheel again. I just think, you know, the carry-on we had with John McGinn. Lennon Miller is, God will tell you, he's absolutely superb. What football player is going to be in 3 or 4 years? And we want to get him in.
The only thing I'll say to that, James, is we don't know behind the scenes that maybe Celtic have tested that water. There's no doubt clubs like Celtic will be looking at the talent of Lennon Miller. They'd be foolish not to. I totally agree with James. I think he's a brilliant talent.
Is the fact that he is back in pre-season training with Motherwell, the fact that he's playing friendlies for them, I think people maybe just expected that he would be gone and that would be it this summer and he would go. The fact that he's in there and he's playing for Motherwell, does that maybe potentially open a door that some clubs might thought of not being there? The fact that he is still available and he's still a Motherwell player at this point?
I would be surprised at the beginning of the season Lennon Miller is still at Motherwell. I'd be really surprised at that. I think Motherwell have got to look at the value of him and obviously cash in him, because he is a real, real talent. And I keep going back to it. We don't know if Celtic have tested the water with Motherwell. It might have been the case. But you've got to take into consideration as well, sometimes a team like Celtic can come with the money and they can afford to up the bids and give the lad a good contract. But you don't know what the young player's thinking. He might look at outside Scotland and think, for the benefit of my career, to kick on. And you see it now. You know, the Lewis Fergusons of this world gone. You see McTominay going over to Napoli, Billy Gilmore. You see the success they're having.
Even that knock-on effect of, you know, Greg Taylor going to Pauk Kiel, have seen the success that other players have had going out to other countries.
Exactly.
And that's maybe.
So we don't know what Lennon's thinking. I think he's a very sensible young lad. He's got good advice from his dad, who's been around the game for a long, long time. But I'll be interested to see where he lands. If he did land at Celtic Park, I think it'd be a real good bit of business for him. I think they've got to address the left back. I totally agree with James in that, obviously with Greg Taylor leaving. But Celtic, people are saying, look, we fell asleep at the wheel. Transfers now are completely different. They do take a lot longer. There's a lot of dealings to be done, whether it's with other clubs, agents, everything. There's always middlemen there that you've got to get by. Then you've got to convince the player. The salaries have got to be right. The fees have got to be right for the club as well, not just for the individual. So there's a lot of work to be done behind the scenes. So I wouldn't be too hard on Celtic and Rangers just now. I certainly think they will be very active in the transfer market. The only thing is, I don't know. I thought there'd be a little bit more exciting players coming in, Andrew, a little bit more big names, shall I say. But so far, it's just been, you know, we've got Fernandes today, you know, a young 23-year-old, Fibita coming into Rangers. You're looking at Celtic thinking, right, who are we going to get in here? It's going to be a big season for his next season. And all of a sudden, you see one of their main players probably leaving the building for 16 million. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag for both for me.
Well, thank you to James. Let's speak to Robbie, who's a Celtic fan in Falkirk. Robbie, if it is to be £16 million for Nicholas Kuhn, would you be happy with that business?
Good evening, Andrew and Gordon. Yeah, I would just like to make the point. I was on last week and I spoke to Hugh Keevans and I did bring up the Kuhn sale, you know, that was possible going on the horizon. Benjamin Nigerin coming on, and I said that with him coming in, there's a good chance that Kuhn would be off. And I mentioned between 10, I would be happy with between 10 and 15 million for Nicholas Kuhn. Well, it looks as if I've got a wee smidgen over that. You know, Celtic have got the 16 million. I don't know if there's going to be any add-ons in that, but I could take it up to another 2 or 3 million, maybe up to 19. I've no idea. But if that's the base price, 16 million they're going to get for him, I think that's absolutely fantastic. Now, everybody's going to have their own opinion here, how much a loss he's going to be. I'm not too bothered about it. I'm not saying he's not a bad player. He is a good player, but we need to look, put it into perspective how long he's been at the club and how well he's done. And he has done 6 months now. Apart from that 6 months at the start of last season, he's been hot and cold. Patches all around there, all around, before then and after then, hot and cold. Although he's been cold, and not very good. Didn't get me wrong, he's a good player. I'm not on here saying he's a bad player. I'm just trying to put things into perspective and be sensible about my views here. But he's never, ever, ever, and if you're to run a poll now, he's never, ever going to be as big a loss as Maeda on the other side of the park, on the left-hand side. If you're to run a poll now, it would be about 95%. The first man you're wanting out the door would be Kuhn. Now, definitely...
He does have 21 goals and 15 assists last season, Robbie. I know you're saying he sort of blows hot and cold, and he probably was, but for the first half of the season, Celtic's best player, I think, was certainly the front runner for Player of the Year in Scotland, was then overtaken by Daizen Maeda. But that is quite a lot to replace, isn't it? 21 goals and 15 assists in a single season.
Absolutely. That's, as I say, but he only done it for 6 months. Maeda, who had to become a centre forward, he done it all season. He was really good throughout the entire season. Now, didn't get me wrong, there was maybe about 3 or 4 weeks he tailed off at the end of the season. But even before then, I'm just trying to be fair on the guy. Everybody kens he's a good player. But at the end of the day, it's not as if he's out the traps as soon as he came in, and he's right up to when he's the end of the season there. I'm just putting it into perspective that he's, what you said there with numbers, absolutely, he's done fantastic. But at the end of the day, he's not. There's other more important players in the team. There's Carter Vickers, McGregor, and Maeda up front. I actually made that point to you, and I would be amazed if your man there sitting there, Gordon Dale, would agree with me. See the top three players in that team, the most important players. Here they are, Gordon, and you can tell me what you think. Carter Vickers, McGregor, Maeda. What do you think, Gordon? That's the three most important players in that team. The way that team ticks, the way it functions, that's your top three right there. What do you think?
Well, if Maeda's playing through the middle, you've just picked the spine of the team, really. And obviously Schmeichel is a goalkeeper. Look, you can't disagree with those three. Where I'm going to disagree slightly, Robbie, is he said it was mostly cold. I disagree with that. I thought Kuhn at the beginning of the season was electrifying. I thought he was brilliant. I really did. Yes, he took a dip. And players do that, especially wide players in the modern day game. But Andrew come out with his numbers there. It's okay saying, right, we'll cash in 16 million. You've got to get a player in that's got to give you those numbers. And it doesn't guarantee you. I think Kuhn, another season under his belt at Celtic, I think he would have a lot to offer. I think he'll get you goals. I think he'll get you assists. Yes, like a typical wide player, he does blow hot and cold sometimes. But I sort of disagree with you, the fact that it was mostly cold. I thought Kuhn, at one point, we all thought he was certainty for the player of the year. And then he took that dip. Maeda was just brilliant throughout the year. So as much as you're saying, yeah, good bit of business, and 16 million would be a good bit of business, it's if you can replace with either the same or better. And that's where you've got to be careful. You've got to really look at what you're going to bring in to replace Kuhn.
Well, thank you to Robbie. 01419511025. If you've got anything to add to that, Celtic fans, Rangers fans, I want to hear from you on the new signing, Emmanuel Fernandez, because we will be speaking to a Peterborough expert after the break who's going to be giving us the lowdown on what his time at the club was like. So I'm sure you'll want to hear that. But before we do that, we're going to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You got a win last time out, didn't you?
Last two. Two in a row.
It's not bad form, yeah. But you are bottom of the table.
No, I'm not.
And what makes it look worse that you're bottom of the table is that Ross McCormack is top of the table with four wins from four. Another win last night.
He must be getting his mates to phone in. That's the only way he could get 4 out of 4.
No idea. No idea how that's happened. But you can take on Gordon DL at Beat the Pundit next. All you need to do is give us a call now. 0141 951 1025.
The voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We want to hear from you, Celtic fans. We've been hearing what supporters think about Nicholas Kuhn, because it looks as if he is on his way out the door for around £16 million. So any thoughts to add to that? 01419511025. Rangers fans, we're about to hear from a Peterborough expert. He's going to tell us all about Rangers' new signing, Emmanuel Fernandez, and what to expect from him. So sure, you'll want to hear about that, and you can give us a call with your thoughts afterwards, 01419511025. But at the same time, as always, during the summer, we're going to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Gordon DL is going to be up against Matthew in Gartcosh tonight. Matthew, have you played before?
No, never played.
How do you normally get on when you play along at home?
Alright,
it
depends.
Sometimes it's okay, but... Ooh, questions apparently are hard tonight. Matthew,
I've had a look. We'll see. Might be a low scoring game. How do you fancy your chances?
I'm all right.
I think you should be all right. I've just called Fernandez Ferdinand, so I've already been off to a bad start.
You're also sitting here in the studio with your shoe off as well, which is distracting me. Claiming you've got a sore foot and you can't walk properly, you're sitting there in your socks. It's just. I might be the one that's distracted for this, right? But we'll put some Greatest Hits Radio in the ear of Gordon DL so he can't hear us. Matthew, it's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well if that's going to help you out. How does that sound?
Good.
Let's do it. Nicholas Kuhn is linked with a move to which Italian side?
Togo.
Who did Lawrence Shankland replace as Hearts captain?
Pass.
How many signings have Rangers made this transfer window? Dundee United, Europa Conference League opponents FC Unastrasen come from which country?
Slovenia.
In what year did Oasis split up and Falkirk reach the Scottish Cup final?
2005.
Where would you find the Ormond stand?
Pass.
Okay, we will bring Gordon DL back in. One thing I will say to the producers, when Gordon DL is on, please fade down his mic when we're doing Beat the Pundit, because he's tapping the table. He's trying to sing along to whatever song's going on.
My apologies.
All I could see was tapping your pen on the table.
Didn't put Matthew off, did it?
You put me off. And not only just because your foot is out in the studio at the moment. Right, anyway, 30 seconds on the clock for Gordon DL. Let's do it. Nicholas Kuhn is linked with a move to which Italian side?
Como.
Who did Lawrence Shankland replace as Hearts captain?
Craig Gordon.
How many signings have Rangers made this transfer window so far?
4.
Dundee United's Europa Conference League opponents FC Unastrasen come from which country?
Austria, no idea.
In what year did Oasis split up and Falkirk reach the Scottish Cup final?
2012.
Where would you find the Ormond stand?
The Hibs.
Who are the only British side left in the Club World Cup?
The British side?
Yep.
Arsenal.
Okay, right. How do you think that went, Matthew? Right, we will go through them. Nicholas Kuhn is linked with a move to which Italian side? Pretty easy one to kick things off, since we've been speaking about it for the last 20 minutes. You both said Como, you both got it correct. 1-1. Who did Lawrence Shankland replace as Hearts captain? Matthew passed this one. You went for Craig Gordon. Craig Gordon is correct. It goes 2-1 to Gordon DL. This is a bit of a sneaky one. How many signings have Rangers made so far this transfer window? You both said 4. There's Lyle Cameron, Joe Rothwell, Max Ahrens. There's Emmanuel Fernandez, who signed last night. But Oscar Cortez is technically a signing this summer because he signed a permanent deal this summer. But you both said 4, so you both either got it right or wrong.
Me and Matthew got that right.
We'll say you both got it wrong, just for my amusement. Dundee United, Europa Conference League opponents FC Unastrasen are from which country? Neither of you said Luxembourg, so it remains 2-1 to Gordon DL. And what year did Oasis split up and Falkirk reach the Scottish Cup final? Neither of you got it. 2009. I said it was going to be a low scoring game. 2-1. Where would you find the Ormond stand?
Must be Hibs.
Why must it be Hibs?
Because
Because I'm saying it's Hibs.
Okay, well, it's St Johnstone. So it remains 2-1. Neither of you got it. And who are the only British side left in the Club World Cup? Matthew didn't get that far. Gord DL said Arsenal, who weren't even taking part in it at all. The answer is Chelsea. It remains 2-1 to Gordon DL. Yes. He scrapes to victory.
I'm happy with that. That's 3 in a row.
A win is a win.
Sorry, unlucky, Matthew. It wasn't unlucky, a good Matthew. Game, but it's all about winning.
Aye,
exactly.
There we go.
Maybe he'll do well tomorrow night. Because you normally do okay, you said, when you come on, but one's all right.
He said he'd never been on before in his life. That was his debut.
No, he says.
Oh, when he plays at home. Oh,
I'm quite happy with that. It's an ugly, ugly win, but it's a win. You know 3 what? Points on the board. Puts me up there. And see if you put my other victory on that. Right, I'm flying.
You've got 4 wins, 4 defeats, 50% win rate. It's creeping up. Right, thank you to Matthew. Right, of course, Rangers made a signing after we went off air last night. Emmanuel Fernandez has signed from Peterborough. We are going to speak to Ben Jones, who is our Peterborough expert. He works for the Peterborough Telegraph. He's our senior reporter. Thank you for taking the time to join us, Ben. How are you?
No problem at all. Very well, thank you.
Good stuff. A player that I think not many people in Scotland know too much about. The signing kind of came as a shock, really, last night. How would you describe Emmanuel Fernandez to Rangers supporters?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really surprised it came as a bit of a shock. I mean, last season was his first real taste of first-team football. Been on Posh's book since the summer of 2021, but largely been in the academy. He went out on loan to Barnet, played not so many games. But yeah, last season was his... with his breakthrough, I would say. I would say he's a player which is... he's got all the attributes of a top centre-back. He's tall, dominant in the air, likes to go into his challenges, real sort of tough defender. But it's just... I would say he's a very raw talent. Got a lot to learn about the game, the art of defending, his positioning. So I think... I would say there's very much a player in there that I can see. It's just... I think it's going to take... quite a bit of development and a lot of work for the Rangers coaching staff, which I'm sure they're capable of really turning him into a top player.
Yeah, I looked at Peterborough's tweet about Emmanuel Fernandez leaving, and I think to say that a lot of Peterborough fans were maybe happy about the move or surprised that he was going to Rangers, I think that's fair to say. Has this come as a bit of a shock, just given what you said there about him being quite raw and maybe not, the player, the finished product at this point?
I think so. I mean, he's a very polarising figure among Posh fans. There's a lot of fans, I would say, with, for want of a better phrase, maybe taken up against him. I think there's been a lot of frustration watching him this season because, to take, for example, the Virtue Trophy final at Wembley, I don't know how widely viewed that is in Scotland, but nonetheless, Fernandez absolutely exceptional in that game. Absolute, colossus at the back, was brilliant. But I think the problem, against Birmingham City, who were, odds-on favourites. But I think the issue is that was very much the minority of his performances. There's been a lot of games where he looked, so far off that player. I think he's shown at times he can be. And I think the issue is he's not shown he can be that sort of colossus. Really, strong defender often enough this season. There's been, some couple of silly red cards. There's been some, not lapses of concentration, which I think have held him back and have really sort of stuck in the minds of Posh fans. If a defender or a goalkeeper makes a mistake, more likely than not leads to a goal, more likely not is remembered by fans, whereas, a striker can miss a hatful of chances. But if they score one or two in the game, they, tend to get forgotten. So I think... it's sort of moments like that which, I would say sort of less than endeared into some Posh fans.
Would you say that the signing is a bit of a risk for Rangers then? You talk about that he does have some of the attributes that he could go on to be, a good defender for Rangers in the future, but just given what he has shown over the past season and maybe the fee, it's talked about that the fee with add-ons could potentially rise to over £3 million. Does it seem like quite a risk for Rangers?
I think for the player he is now, it does seem like a high fee. Rangers have taken a bit of a risk there. I think that's the thing. It's sort of how much you believe in him. Clearly, Russell Martin and Rangers do believe in him a lot. And as you say, I do really think there is a play deep in there, but he's so raw at the moment. I mean, I know he's 23 at the moment, but his development, you know, is slightly pushed back because, you know, as I say, last year really was his first year of first team football, which slightly unusual. Maybe, you know, young players generally maybe tend to break through a bit sooner. So I think Rangers have taken a little bit of a risk there, but you know, I think as I say, I do think there is a player deep in there, and it's up to the Rangers coach staff now to get it out of him.
Ben, you touch on his defensive qualities there and everything about him. In the modern game's a centre half, is he confident enough to step out, and is he comfortable on the ball, stepping into the middle of the park and making those passes?
I would say he's a player which he very much does like to do that. He likes to try and do that. He'd like to be positive on the ball. I think it's his passing and sort of close control, which does need a bit of work as well. I think maybe that element of it is what's caused a bit of a surprise. Obviously, Russell Martin very familiar to Posh fans just because of his, you know, time being there, and also just, you know, the style his team's played in England. You know, his MK Dons, his Southampton teams, you know, excellent to watch, Swansea teams. And I think, you know, for us last season, we had Ronnie Edgewood the season before, brilling on the ball. Absolutely, you know, Rolls Royce on the ball, transitioning this season to Fernandes. I do think that side of his game struggled a bit. So, as I say, he's a confident boy, but maybe last season didn't always have the ability to back that up. So, I do think, as I say, that maybe is another little reason, knowing Russell Martin's style and knowing Fernandes' ability sort of at the moment, maybe that is another reason why maybe Posh fans were a little bit surprised by this move.
When you say, you know, Rangers are buying for the hope that the potential is there, would you be surprised if he was ready to be thrown into a game, you know, Rangers' first competitive game of this season as a Champions League qualifier against Panathinaikos, which is going to prove to be one of Rangers' most important games of the season as they try to get into the league phase? Would you be surprised if he was ready to be thrown into a game like that at this point?
I mean, you know, I'm very conscious I don't want to sort of come on your show and be negative. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, fans are very excited about a new signing. But if I'm honest, I would be a bit surprised if he was ready to be thrown into that right away, yeah. So I do think he's maybe a bit more time, a bit more development before he's ready to be thrown into a game of that magnitude on a regular basis, to say. And I know how much getting into the Champions League, getting further into Europe means for Rangers, so I would have... I would have slight concerns there.
Well, thank you to Ben Jones, who works for the Peterborough Telegraph. That was some good insight there into Emmanuel Fernandes. Appreciate your time there, Ben. Thank you very much. Let's go straight to the phones. Craig is a Rangers fan in Knightswood. Craig, first of all, what did you make of what Ben had to say there?
It sounds quite familiar to what I've heard from, I think I listened to a guy from Up the Poshcast, and just saying that he's got potential, but he's quite erratic in his performances. But I think the fact we've got a guy who's tall and hopefully dominant in the air could make a difference for us.
Does it surprise you, Gordon, when Rangers do have this rebuild under Russell Martin? And look, Emmanuel Fernandes may well come in and he may well prove to be a fantastic player for Rangers this season. We don't know that. But just given, you know, the reports we've heard and what Ben Jacobs was saying there, are you surprised that, you know, a fee, you know, not an insignificant fee as well? Are you surprised that that's been spent at this point, Gordon?
Yes, I am. But obviously Rangers, they've got to trust in the process. They've done their homework. They feel that he's the right fit to come in. I agree with Ben, just listening to and, you know, looking at social media and everything about the lad. I don't think he's ready just to be put right in for the very first game, and important games. So I think he'll be nurtured through. Russell Martin will be working on him. He obviously knows his strengths and his weaknesses. Look, everybody, you can go to a club and everybody can have an opinion about you, whether you're good, bad or indifferent. He's come to Scotland. He's come to a big club. A lot of pressure on him. He's 23. You know, he's at that age now. He's got to kick on. He's got to start producing. He's got to be looking to be a regular in the first team. You never know, he may hit the ground running. He might be a sensation up here. It doesn't mean that the Peterborough fans don't fancy him, that all of a sudden, oh, hold on a minute, what's Rangers doing here? Rangers believe the boy's good enough. They believe that the manager can improve him. You believe that he can play in the Scottish game, the style of the game. So you've just got to put a wee bit of trust in and judge him on what we see in Scotland. Obviously, everybody's got their opinion down south, Peterborough, whatever it may be. But Rangers have brought him to the club. They believe that they can improve the guy. So it's up to him now to go and show everybody, yeah, it was a good move. But concerning the fee, I'm a little bit surprised, yeah.
Well, thank you to Craig. We're going to have to leave that there because we are running late for the travel.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time for you to get involved. 0141 951 1025. Gordon DL in the studio with me, Andrew McLean. Is your shoe still off?
Yes, it is, yes.
Because of your injured foot?
Yep, I'm struggling. I'm glad I've got an automatic. I wouldn't be able to drive.
I tell you what, that's not good news, because you've got something coming up. A Super Scoreboard commitment coming up that you need to be fit and healthy for.
I'll be fit and healthy, don't worry about
because
that.
How good does this sound? If you fancy a round of golf and meeting the Super Scoreboard team as well, the likes of Gordon Duncan will be there, Gordon DL will be there as well. I mean, that might put people off, actually. I shouldn't sell that too much, that you're going to be there. But we're having a big Scottish golf day. It's happening on Friday the 15th of August at the Carrick at Cameron House. There's going to be a live Q&A, a barbecue and a quiz after your four ball as well. If you are interested, email westscotland@cashforkids.org.uk, or you can check out our socials as well, and you can turn up and you can annoy Gordon DL to your heart's content.
Oh, I can annoy you.
I give you full license to just annoy the guy. That'll be great. I'm looking forward to it. Right, let's go back to the phones. Andy is a Celtic fan in Royston. Andy, what are you making of this Nicholas Kuhn deal?
Andrew, hey, Dazzler, how you doing, all right?
Hi, Andy.
Good, thank you.
All right, mate, all right. Hey, listen, I think Celtic's model for the last few seasons has certainly been to at least sell one of their so-called top players for a decent profit. If I was going to pick one of the players that could have went for profit, it would have been Nicholas Kuhn. I think he's very much replaceable. When he was good, he was good. But he was very, very inconsistent, and he probably wasn't good long enough. So he would be the one that I chose to go. However, the thing I was looking at is, we brought him in January 2024, paid £3 million for him. In the same window, we brought in Adam Eder. Eventually, when he spent £9 million on him, so it's £12 million combined. We're already bringing £14 million in for Kuhn. I'm going to say something a lot of Celtic fans won't agree with. I would let Adam Eder go now for a loss. I'd put the combined total value of Kuhn and Adam Eder, and I'd bring a number 9 in. I think we need a replacement centre left back. We need a replacement, a second left back, but we need a number 9 more than anything. And I just think Adam Eder, I've said it for a while now, gave him a chance last season, he ain't ever going to cut it at Celtic.
Could you see Adam Eder being sold this window,
Gordon? I think if a team come in for Eder and the price was acceptable to Celtic, yeah, I do.
Even if that was a loss, like Andy's saying?
I don't think Celtic tend to work too much on losses. Depends what it was. You know, you take into consideration his wages and everything.
Because as much as Andy's logic is, you know, if you make that profit for Nicholas Kuhn, then a loss on Adam Eder doesn't look so bad. But that's not the way that you'd imagine Celtic would operate.
Celtic don't operate like that, there's no doubt. Look, Brendan Rodgers may look at Eden and think, right, next year could be a big year for him. I think when Kyogo left, everybody's expecting Adam Eder to fill his shoes and be the number 9, be that centre forward that obviously they went out and splashed £9 million for. And then before you know it, he becomes the number 2 striker because Maeda goes into the centre forward berth and he's been absolutely brilliant. One player a year, scored goals for fun. Look, I don't think he's a fan's favourite either. I still think he can score goals. I still think he's got things to offer, but I think he's got to up his game, especially next season at that price tag. But I know what the Celtic fans are saying about Kuhn, but when you look at his numbers, okay, brought him in for what, 2.7 million, sell him for, say, 16 million. It's a great bit of business, of course it is. But you've got to replace him with similar or better. 21 goals and 15 assists from a wide player ain't bad. And a player that went off the boil for about 2 or 3 months, some Celtic fans may argue and say it was a bit longer, but at the beginning of the season, he was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. But it is the way Celtic operate. Brendan Rodgers will be very confident that you know, get the money that he can go out and replace Kuhn. But as I keep going back to it, to replace somebody in a wide area, 21 and 15 assists, it ain't an easy task.
When it comes to Adam Ida, Andy, 20 goals in his first full season at Celtic last season, what was it about him that you're not sold on?
There's not much that I am sold on, Andrew, I'm afraid. I don't think he's... People say he's decent for being combative up front. I don't think he does that well. I don't think he's got the energy or relaxed the motivation to have the energy to be involved in an effective press. He scored a number of goals, but when you dissect those goals, I mean, 90% of them are into the six-yard box from there. I know that Gordon will tell you it's the hardest thing in football, scoring goals, and he does that well enough. But nobody's telling me we can't improve on that. We could have improved for the $9 million we spent on him. But if we look at it as a priority, there's certainly better we can bring in. I just don't think the big fella's delivered it. I think there was a wee bit of nostalgia because he came in on loan and scored the goal that won the cup final. I think most people would agree, most observers would agree that when Norwich went beyond the $6 million original asking price, people started scratching their head and asking what was going on. It was a gamble, I think. I think Brendan Rodgers made it clear that he was his man, but it's not worked.
When you look at the sort of optics of Adam Ida's goals in that half season that you had on loan, it kind of seemed that every single time he scored, it was a big goal at the end of a game that, you know, got Celtic points or won Celtic a trophy. This season, it almost seemed like the opposite. He did score 20 goals, but quite a lot of them came towards the end of matches where Celtic were already, you know, 3-4 goals up. How important is it not only scoring goals, but maybe scoring them at the right time? And don't get me wrong, he did score, you know, goals in big games as well across the season, but it maybe just wasn't the consistency of it being in, you know, big games and them being big moments.
Yeah, I thought his loan spell was a lot better in his season, especially when Kyogo left. There was a great opportunity for him just to grab that as a number one striker, and that's what he was probably waiting for. Now, even looking at that, Andrew, 20 goals is not a bad return, but if you're playing with Celtic week in, week out, the amount of goals that they scored last year, the way they dominate games, I think you're looking for a lot better return than 20 goals, especially if you're signing a player for $9 million, right? The transfer fee's not his fault. It's what the two clubs decided on. I would give Ida a benefit of doubt. I think you've got to give him another season. I think Brendan Rodgers was desperate to get him in the building, so he obviously sees something differently from us in Adam Ida. And I just wonder if he'll come good next year. And as I say, I do think he's got the potential to have a good season. But I totally agree with Andy. I think that, like Nicholas Kuhn, if the right sort of money come in for Adam Ida, then I think that he would be leaving Celtic Park.
Well, thank you to Andy. That is all the time we've got for calls. Very quickly, just wanted to touch on Lawrence Shanklin signing a 3-year deal with Hearts. Derek McInnes, you know, made it quite clear that he wanted him to be a big part of Hearts this season and beyond. How pleased will he be that he's got his man tied down?
Yeah, good bit of business for him. It'll be interesting to see how Derek sees him playing. Will he play him in that number 10 role? Where I think he's good enough to play that, but for me, he's an out-and-out number 9. He's a box player. He can get you goals, and I wouldn't be surprised if Derek uses him as that number 9 next year for Hearts, and I wouldn't be surprised if he scored a lot of goals, because I think he's an actual goal scorer. Sorry.
Well, thank you for getting involved tonight, whether it was on social media, on the phones, watching at home, on the live stream as well, or listening. We appreciate it. Remember, you can get involved in the Cash for Kids Golf Day. You can meet the Super Scoreboard team. It's at the Carrick at Cameron House, Friday, 15th of August. If you're interested in that, you can email westscotland@cashforkids.org.uk. I'll be back tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, as usual. It'll be Hugh Keevans in that chair over there, and it's Callum Gallagher who's up next.